Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. At this point, joining me as usual, Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I live.
This is becoming a regular thing, I guess.
Which part? Okay. That Aki lives?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, that's good.
And the both of you being here.
Is that really good, though?
No, it's not.
No, you're still here, so no.
I could leave.
Yeah, but then, like, half the show would be gone.
Is that really a problem, though?
True. Very true.
I mean, if you need to, I could really just start giving, like, a Siskel and Ebert thumbs up, thumbs down for the games I review.
We just
blow through games in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I heard you went to go see a movie. How was that?
It was pretty cool. I saw No Time to Die, the latest James Bond movie, and I haven't been to a movie theater since Sonic the Hedgehog came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went from award winner to award winner.
pretty much. You know, pinnacle of franchise movies. It's really hard to talk about No Time to Die without bringing in like some really huge spoilers. I really can't discuss it at this point. Although, actually, I do want to eventually return to discuss it, like on a future episode. Like, you know, if we give it, like, you know, fuck it, you've all had 2 weeks to go see the movie. Like, now's your chance, kind of thing. Because, in my opinion, I think the movie actually, for once, acknowledge some of the shit that went on in the video games, like the non-movie based video James Bond video games. And it was kind of neat that they did that. And I don't know if I'm the only one that picked up on this, because nobody else seems to be discussing it online. Which, to be fair, a lot of James Bond games are actually forgettable.
Yeah,
because I mean, how are you going to get past GoldenEye, the original? But otherwise, it was great to be back in theaters. Everyone, like, there was only like 25 of us in an auditorium that probably seats like 500.
Yeah, you said that the one you went to still was following CDC guidelines and
They say that it doesn't really seem that way. But the funny thing is that it's just like everyone ended up just socially distancing themselves anyway.
Well, that's how it is in movie theaters anyway.
True.
Yeah,
but it's just, this thing has assigned seating. And the thing was, is that once everyone realized, like, oh, nobody's coming to this, we all just, like, I mean, I stayed where I was because I specifically picked my seat and fuck everyone who was going to sit around me. Well, you don't even swing my way anyway, so.
I'll see it collectively for everyone. No, thank you. If there is a person,
you're the reason she doesn't swing that way.
One of them,
you, yes. Specifically.
Aki was like, you know, I was kind of like, I was on the fence about guys, but I talked to Jake, but not anymore. Penises really just became icky after that. I assume.
So, news.
Penises are icky.
This show's so fucking terrible. Jacob, I'm sure you heard about this. G4's returning.
Again?
Like, they're returning to TV on November 16th.
Again? This is like the Yeah, this is like the third time they tried to resurrect themselves.
No, they announced they were returning, and they had like a return special, but they never actually returned. This is them actually returning.
Hmm.
And they're being backed by Comcast, so.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really a plus, but okay.
Well, they have financial backing. That's what I mean. It's not just some random upstart cable company. They have financial backing. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So they announced it back in July of last year. And now it will relaunch on November 16th.
Yep.
So are they making a new channel or are they taking over Tech TV?
Oh, Tech TV's gone. That's been gone for a very long time.
They merged with Tech TV back in like 2010-ish.
Yeah, and then they murdered it.
Okay, because the only thing I remember about back then was some guy named Sessler, and that's it.
Yeah, he's still going to be a part of it with X-Play.
All right. He was funny. I enjoyed whatever show it was that he was on with the attractive woman that he was on there with.
It was X-Play with Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb. And
Morgan Webb, X-Play's that's right.
Coming back. I don't think Morgan's going to be a part of the new G4, but Adam is. Kevin Pereira is going to be a part of it, doing Attack of the Show. I don't know if that's going to be a daily thing or a weekly thing. There's so much I don't know about it, but I'm excited because I legitimately liked G4 when it was a gaming channel. You know, when it turned into Cops, the channel, it got shitty and was like Cops and Campus Police and just dumb shit like that. But when they focused on gaming, I loved the channel.
Yeah, that's the whole time I knew it. And then they switched to Tech TV, and I was just like, eh. And then apparently they disappeared.
I don't recall ever watching G4 and enjoying it, so I'm just... Okay.
Y'all are haters. Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy Definitive Edition, was finally officially announced by Rockstar. It will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC via the Rockstar Games Launcher later this year. Rumors have it for December. And then it'll also be coming to next-gen consoles as well as iOS and Android in 2022.
Awesome. So you can beat up hookers on your new systems. All right.
Yay. Now it's good to see 3 Vice City getting current re-releases. I mean, we have the backward compatible version of San Andreas, which isn't the greatest version of the game, but these are going to be prettied up, and I don't know exactly how far they're going in remastering them.
What was the prettiest version of San Andreas, or best version?
The one before the actual 360 version, or the actual Xbox game. Not the 360. Oh. The 360 version, like the backward compatible version, is based off the mobile version of the game.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a mobile version of the game.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
And even if you have an original Xbox disc of San Andreas and you pop it in your Xbox One, it downloads the 360 enhanced version, quote unquote enhanced version, which is the mobile neutered
That's
version
dumb.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's going to be any changes to music in the game. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's coming and I'm excited. I'm guessing it'll be a full price package considering it's all 3 games.
Oh, for sure.
No clue if they'll sell them separately, but I guess we'll find out. Paid XP boosts have come to the Avengers despite promises that they never would.
Well, shocking. I mean, realistically, they also said it was going to be a fun and good game, and that was bullshit too, so.
Remember, this is the same game that halved the XP because they didn't want you to have too much fun too fast.
No, their reasoning was it's going to overwhelm you. Going to confuse people.
And now you can pay for XP boosts.
Yeah, that game has been dead in the water since it was fucking made, and now they've made sure to kill the fucking thing.
I really, really hope that Square does better with Guardians of the Galaxy.
I hope they do, but realistically, I mean, come on.
I don't know. Current rumors suggest that the recent Blue Point acquisition with Sony has them working on a Bloodborne remaster and potential sequel.
Oh, that's cool for everyone who likes those games.
Yeah. So PS5 owners potentially have some good shit to look forward to.
Yeah.
Rocksmith and all its DLC will be delisted on October 17th.
What? Why?
Rocksmith. Yes. Wait. Rocksmith and its DLC expansions will be delisted October 17th, and DLC will be pulled from sale in early November.
Do you have all of it?
No.
Then you better get on buying it.
And I have, I think, three or four packs in my wish list, but I don't know if I want to drop $12 on a pack of songs for Rocksmith. Like, I'm not good at Rocksmith.
Never get them. Okay.
All right. Well, hold on. Wait. So there's Rock Band, Guitar Hero, Rocksmith. What else is there? Like, am I panicking over the right game?
I don't know.
Which game are you panicking over?
I don't know. Like, I thought there was one that was like more like involved in Rock Band, like that, like actually was like teaching guitar stuff.
Yeah, that's Rocksmith.
Oh, well, so why are they getting rid of the game?
Because I'm sure their license is expired. It's been 10 years.
Oh, do they not make anything? Like, is there like a sequel game to it, or are they
they're
just
working on Rocksmith Plus? It was supposed to be out this fall, got bumped to next year. It's going to be subscription based instead of DLC based.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah. That sounds
That's crappy. But at the same time, I never even got around to firing up Rocksmith. So
yeah. If there's any Rocksmith content or DLC that you're itching to get it now before it's gone for good. I might pull the trigger on a couple DLC packs just in case, like the Volbeat pack I wanted. I think there's some other stuff. I don't know. I have like...
You definitely want the Volbeat one. Volbeat's amazing. So good.
And they have still counting, and I'm pretty sure it's uncensored. So they have counting all the assholes in the room.
One of the best. So,
1, 2, 3... How many more of us are there?
It's just the three of us today.
Okay. All right, cool.
Why?
I'm counting the assholes.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
Have you not heard that song, though?
No.
Oh, you
haven't?
Listen. Still Counting by Volbeat. Go listen to it.
I don't even know who...
Let's just pause the show. He needs to go listen to it right now. I can't believe he hasn't fucking heard
the
song.
Pull it up on your phone.
Well, yeah, but I do Skype through my phone.
Oh, I thought you did it on a tablet. Then pull it up on your tablet.
I don't have a tablet.
Oh, god damn
it.
Pull
it up on your phone anyway.
On your laptop, then.
Oh, my god.
I can't fathom how he's never fucking
heard this
song.
How have you never heard this song? Part of me wants to put like a clip in the episode just to... So people know
this
what we're talking
on the radio
about
for like a year and a half, 2 years, like constantly.
What radio station though? Like
rock stations. You might not listen. You probably listen to like Dave Matthews Band or something.
So what if I do?
Oh shit. Anyway, yeah, Rocksmith DLC going away. Shut up. Final Fantasy XIV has surpassed 24 million players and has become the most profitable game in the Final Fantasy series.
That doesn't shock me. It's an MMO.
So that was 14, that is?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is 11 still going?
Yes.
It is? I thought they closed that.
No, it's still going on PC.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, they closed it on PlayStation and on Xbox, but it's still running on PC.
Huh. And then 16 is also an MMO, right?
No.
What? How?
No, 16 is the PlayStation exclusive that everyone's pissed about.
I'm fucking confused. I can't keep up with
the
shit anymore.
I didn't even know there was a 16 yet.
14's the MMO that released on PS3, PS4, and just recently on PS5. And is supposedly coming to Xbox eventually. They said it's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. And it's come down to like manpower, and they had to focus on getting the PS5 version working before Xbox. So hopefully now that PlayStation 5 version is done, they could make Xbox happen.
I know a lot of people that are going to be happy about that.
Me?
Oh.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know other people.
Do you?
Shockingly.
Do you know other people?
Yes. I know it's shocking, but I swear I do.
Just don't ask me. She has a whole other life outside of this show, Jake.
Whoa.
Yeah. What? Related to, ironically, another gamer. Like, that's where I know almost everyone I know from is either here or there. Jesus Christ.
Loser. Timber in chat asking, has anyone heard what happened to the Stanley Parable console edition? I have not heard any news on that.
I didn't know they were... Oh, no, I do remember they were mentioned they were going to bring that to consoles.
Imagrete saying, I follow the devs, and they're still updating. They are working on it and hopefully get it out this year. There you go.
Yeah, it says intended released 21, so...
Intended, but... It's. I know they're one of the companies that are like, it'll be ready when it's ready. Don't rush us.
I just love the fact that I just know they're probably going to keep the same achievement list. So fire it up one day and in 5 years, fire it up again. It's the craziest fucking achievement.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's coming out that Dragon Age 4 will not get released on Xbox One or PS4. It will be Series X and S, PS5, and PC only.
As much as that bums me out, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
The last one was... It didn't run particularly amazing on the Xbox One, so I know they just made the fucking thing even bigger. So yeah,
I'm excited to see what they do. I enjoy the Dragon Age game. I think they've all been pretty solid. I'm excited to see what they do. Hopefully BioWare doesn't fuck this one up.
They will.
I'm hoping they make it like either one or two. I didn't like three quite as much as the others. Matter of fact, I've never finished three.
No, me neither.
I never finished any
of them. I
don't
finish anything anymore. Like, the only games I finish anymore are Rattalakas.
I blame you, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finish most of the games I play, and I've finished every Dragon Age and Mass Effect game I've ever played, except for Dragon Age 3. It's the
not
only
to brag. Finish Anthem.
I never had Anthem.
Really? It's only $5.
I might still get it and play it, especially once, you know, there's not very many people in it anymore, and I can actually open chests and shit.
Oh, now, yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
not to brag, guys, but I've beaten all three Paw Patrol games.
Oh.
At least by outright. So, you know, just saying, pretty big up there.
Big Dick Jacob over here beating the Paw Patrol games.
And also, I beat that Blaze and the Monster Machines game, too.
I think everyone beat the Blaze and the Monster Machines game if they've downloaded it.
But here's the thing. I've beaten all four of these games before my kids did. I'm just saying, I'm much better than them at this.
For now. One day, they're going to kick your ass at games.
One day, he won't even know what the hell games are anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's actually like a good point. Like, I think there will be a day when, yeah, what we recognize as a video game like will not be a thing, or it'll be like so fucking retro.
I think
nerds playing with controllers. I play with my neural complex. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly the shit I'm worried is going to happen. We're going to get old, and we're not going to understand how video games work anymore, and I'm just going to hate my life.
The SML podcast is nothing but negative reviews anymore because
I don't understand how these goddamn games are played anymore. I give it a deny it.
I can't wait for that day. That'll be fucking fantastic.
I tried to play the new Yakuza game. I don't have a penis anymore. I don't know what happened.
What? Where the fuck did that come from? Oh, Jesus. All right. Series X and S have combined sold over 100,000 units in Japan.
I'm shocked.
It took the Xbox One 4.5 years to reach 100,000.
Yeah. and that's still impressive.
Yeah, I think I think the Series X is around 60-some thousand, and the Series S is like 38,000, something like that. Combined together, the X and S is over 100,000 in Japan, which shocking. I know PS5 is like over, I don't know, like a million or two over in Japan, but it's cool to see Xbox having what they can consider a level of success in Japan.
Yeah, that's well, really
they reached impressive. Six digits. So,
I mean, I would have
in a year.
I've been just impressed getting 50,000 even.
Yeah.
So they're doing excellent there.
Yeah, and by the time some more RPGs come out, sales could actually pick up for this thing. They might actually hit a million in Japan by the end of life cycle.
And just think of that. The next one, if that happens, the next one we might get more JRPGs.
That'll never happen. Jacob, what news do you have?
My hopes and dreams.
I actually only have two stories. So Sony is going to be celebrating 5 years of PlayStation VR with a free game giveaway. It's going to be in November. So PlayStation Plus members will get 3 free PSVR games. However, it's not been announced what they are.
So. Nice.
Hey, free is free. I'll take them.
So there's that. And the worst fucking news of all time in video game stuff. Epic is going to be making a Fortnite movie. Or at least they're looking into it.
Yep, and I've already don't care because you said Epic and Fortnite. And I just don't even give a shit anymore.
Aki's brain just makes a window shut down noise as soon as Fortnite gets
said. Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Yeah, that's like legit all I got.
I think that's my horn in Forza. The XP shutdown sound. I'm pretty sure that's my horn in Forza Horizon 4. They have some funny horns in that game. Have you seen the new footage for Forza Horizon 5? Jesus fucking Christ, this game looks insane. Oh my lord, it is so pretty.
I just want them to make another, like, Presents the Fast and the Furious. One of those small, little, tiny games. That's what I want. I just want another one.
I really like the Fast and Furious one. It was nice. It was short. It was a bite-sized little chunk of Forza goodness.
Yeah, and I love that.
Forever.
Yeah, I played that both on the 360 and the Xbox One when I got my Xbox One. It's like, I've never particularly been interested in the main games, but those, I fucking love those, and I just want more of that.
And they were different between the two versions, so you actually got a different experience between the 360 and the Xbox One,
which I thought was pretty cool. Version was harder.
Forza Presents Fast and Furious.
Oh, okay. I think I have both versions.
So yeah, they're
you better fun. Hope so, because they're gone now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can still download them, though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
If you own them, yeah.
Okay, which I did.
Okay. Well, they were free, so I would hope you did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't, despite being free.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
Bunch of losers.
Oh, man, that just reminded me of that freaking Yaris game.
Huh. What's this game?
Yaris, 360 racing game.
They made a racing game based on the Toyota Yaris. I think it was actually like one of the first Xbox Live arcade games too.
I don't think it was one of the
like,
first,
or it was at least like one of the first free ones.
Yeah, it was like one of the first free paid marketing games, and
so you pretty much just had to drive. Like it was you versus somebody else, and like. You just had to drive around this course and dodge obstacles, and like you had this like little laser attached to the top, and like so you use like left stick to drive and right stick to aim the laser thing. And I remember it being difficult at the time. I'm kind of curious how it's like aged. I mean, it was not a great game, but it was entertaining. I remember there was like sumo wrestlers on motorcycles that you had to defeat.
Really? I'm already loving this. That sounds so weird. I love it.
Oh my lord. Yeah. Anyway, should we get to reviews?
Did you not play the game?
No, Yaris? I've never heard of it.
What the fuck? Joe, like, what do you mean you didn't play it?
I thought it was a racing game. And there's like, there's sumos on bicycles. Like, what? I don't remember that.
there's like obstacles that you had to defeat. Like during
I haven't. I just never played it.
Oh man. Yeah, you should fire it up sometime.
Should I?
No. No. There are much better games out there.
Exactly.
Although now I want to
finish in a day.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then yes, you need to play it so you can actually you need
you need to get those 200 points.
Oh yeah.
Good
old 200 gamer score games from the Xbox arcade days.
You know what we need to do now? We need to actually start up a petition to get Toyota to make a remastered version of the game.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, we really don't.
No.
Aki, I'm putting your name as the first person to have signed it.
If I will get DMCA takedown notice.
Or a petition?
Yes. I will find a fucking way.
Oh, jeez. All right. Are you all ready for reviews?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Let's dive into these. First game to talk about tonight is Lost Judgment, developed by RGG Studio, published by Sega, released September 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $59.99. When a convicted police officer reveals the location of a murder victim, Private Detective Yagami is called to revisit an impossible case of two crimes committed at once. As more victims pile up, Yagami unravels the truth, and will scales of justice tip in favor of defending the law or enacting vengeance? Jacob, tell us about your time with Lost Judgment.
So, Lost Judgment is the sequel to a previous game, which was called Judgment, and it's one of like the few spin-offs of the Yakuza series. And with this one, instead of being part of the underworld, you're actually this like lawyer who is also like a private detective, and so pretty much you're gathering stuff for this main case, which Joe had described in the description, which, you know, is what you usually describe anyway. However, of course, because it's Yakuza, there's also like a ton of other side quests and jobs that you could do as well, so like there's other cases that you can solve during this. And, you know, it's the usually Yakuza fashion. And also, if you don't feel like solving it, that's cool. Because, much like the Yakuza games, there is a ton of other crap to do. Can you visit arcades? Yes. Can you play old Sega games? Of course. Virtua Fighter is in there.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, God. Shoot. I'm blanking on it. It's made on the same engine as Fighting Vipers. Fighting Vipers is in there. And but then
the important thing is that little racing mini game in there where you race the remote control cars.
Well, what do you mean? The RC cars?
Yeah.
If it is, I haven't run into it yet. But apparently, they will later on, and I haven't gotten to this part either. Apparently, drone racing is also in this game. So.
Yeah, and they have Sega Master System titles too.
Yeah, I was actually getting to that part. Alex Kidd is available to play right off the bat, and there's I don't know, there's more games you can play. It's just you either have to buy them or you find them.
And there are some DLC ones. So if you pick up the season pass, there are 4 extra games that you get.
Okay, cool. I was actually surprised with that because when I fired up the game. Yeah, like there's like a ton of DLC all ready to go for this game. Yep. I don't know if it got launched early or whatever it was supposed to be there, but whatever. Cool. So there's a ton of content in this game right off the bat for those who like to dick around in the Yakuza world. And with that, so you're not acting as a bad guy this time. This time you're on this, you know, you're on the side of the law. And
Kiryu is always a good guy. Thank you very much.
What?
Kiryu is always a good guy.
All right, but you know what I mean. I mean, he's still Yakuza.
It's fine.
Anyway. So there's various stuff that you have to do within the game to build your investigations. Like, you have to trail people, which is freaking annoying in my opinion. However, thankfully, it's not that bad. I've never been big on stealth. So you have to trail people in crowds and make sure that they don't notice you but when you do, like, oh, I'm on my phone, or oh, look at that interesting bird, like that kind of stuff. there's also parts where you have to be stealthy and sneak around buildings or, like, you know, back alleyways and stuff like that. And it's a lot of like, ooh, I have to hide behind this box and, like, you know, toss a coin so somebody hears that noise and goes and investigate it. That kind of stuff. That stealth isn't too bad either. It almost feels like they're really guiding you, though, with it. Like, it never felt too hard to figure out what path I had to use. It was really just, it just became timing with that. And then you get various gadgets, too. Like, one of them helps you, like, hear stuff in conversations. Like, you can also help pick out buzzwords. You know, like, so if somebody, like, says, like, I don't know, if somebody says, like, Yakuza, like, it'll pick that up in the conversation. You're like, ah, great, like, we got the evidence we needed and stuff like that. You also have to take photos, so, you know, get your Pokemon Snap skills ready.
Sweet.
And, yeah, so it's just, like, there's a lot to do in this game. Unlike the Yakuza games, though, like, it felt pretty overwhelming. And I think part of that was just because, like, I'd been so used to playing the other, you know, the mainline titles, that with this one, it's just like, hey, all those mechanics that you know, needed, pretty much they're not going to be here. I mean, there is still fighting, and the fighting is fine. It's fluid. The controls are easy to pick up. But, like, just all this, like, kind of, like, almost mini-game feeling kind of stuff, it felt kind of disorienting with it. Not that it was bad, it's just, you know, you just have to look at it and you're like, you have to realize this is not a Yakuza title. This is, I mean, it's in the world of it, but Judgment and Lost Judgment are very much its own things.
Yeah, and I think one detriment to this game is that Judgment is available on the Series X and S, but not on Xbox One. So there are people who could pick up Lost Judgment who have never played Judgment.
Yep, which is me. I you know, I obviously can't play Judgment, so.
Yeah, but Lost Judgment is available on Xbox One, thankfully.
What the fuck was the reason for that? That doesn't even make
know.
Sense.
They were asking it in chat as well. Timber in chat is asking, I don't get why Lost Judgment is on Xbox One, but the first game is exclusive to Series X. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's a weird decision, but maybe this will lead to the original Judgment getting ported back.
Hopefully.
That would be kind of weird at this point. I mean,
I'm fine with it being weird.
I mean, Yakuza series is all about being weird. I mean, yeah, look at the new game, true, which is a JRPG now.
Yeah, and honestly, it, Like a Dragon was pretty fun with what I had played of it.
I love Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
I haven't played that one yet.
You should. Good shit. Well, Lost Judgment is available for $60. They also have a digital deluxe edition for $70 and a ultimate edition for $90, which includes the season pass. What are your thoughts on this?
So pretty much I'm totally for getting this game. Just keep in mind, it's like, as I said, it's, doesn't play exactly like the other Yakuza games. This is a slightly different take and perspective in that world. But it's totally worth it. I highly recommend it. It's a welcome addition to that world, too. Personally, I would go with the Ultimate Edition and just get all of, like, the friggin' DLC just so it's right there off the bat. But, you know, just picking up the normal game, too, is totally cool.
Yeah, I plan on picking up the Ultimate Edition when I have the spare money. Or in January, when I could use my Microsoft rewards again.
Why is it held until January?
Because I maxed out my rewards for the year.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a question about this. Is Majima in it?
Crap. I don't believe... Well, first off, I haven't run into him. If he is...
If he's not in it, I don't know if it's worth buying. He is the best part of that, of the entire series. Majima is life. Majima is love.
Anyway.
I'm gonna check that out now, but I don't think... God, I don't even know how the hell to spell Majima.
I would tell you, but honestly, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay.
I would guess M-A-J-I-M-A.
M-A-J...
That would be my
guess. Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. Good call. Damn, Look at Joe knowing how to spell things.
Yeah, anyway, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is Back for Blood, developed by Turtle Rock Studios, published by Warner Brothers Games. Warner Brothers provided us with the code for this review. Product provided by WB, hashtag sponsored, whatever else you want to say there. Released October 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. You are at the center of a war against the Ridden. These once human hosts of a deadly parasite have turned into terrifying creatures bent on devouring what remains of civilization. With humanity's extinction on the line, it's up to you and your friends to take the fight to the enemy, eradicate the Ridden, and reclaim the world. Aki, tell us about your time with Back for Blood.
Holy shit.
Need a little more than that. A little bit more.
Okay. in it, you play.
Holy fucking shit. No.
We can go that route, too. You play as one of 8 different people. Each person has their own perks that they provide to gameplay, so each one of them plays slightly different. I can't even tell you all of them because the only two I really played as were Holly and Kaylee.
Shocker.
Hot girls.
Shocker. How did I know those were the two that you played as?
Because they're hot. Very, very hot. And then there's, you know, Mama, like a grandma, and some dudes that I don't know any of their names at all. With
penises that I don't give a shit about.
I mean, one of them's really cool. I think his name was Walker, maybe? I'm not sure. I can't be sure because I've never played as them.
Because they weren't hot girls.
Exactly. You get it. But they all have their own loadout when you first start playing as them. Obviously, you can pick out different weapons for the most part. Some characters have melee weapons and they can't
draw melee weapons with
other ones, whereas other characters can just have whatever, which is kind of sad. However, the melee weapons for those characters who can't drop them are much better. So that's good, because that's what I ended up using a lot of, because I suck at shooting. and
yeah, I'm a melee fan too, because I also suck at shooting.
Yep.
Which has been all well documented on this show.
yes, it has. And there's 2 modes you can play in this game. Well, I guess technically 3. There's the solo campaign, which is absolutely pointless to play. There's the proper campaign, which is all co-op, which ironically, if the players leave, you play with bots. However, you can't just start playing with bots, which is really fucking annoying.
We should address, that's been one of the biggest issues with this game and one of the biggest points of contention, is that solo play doesn't provide achievements or what are the
supply points.
Supply points. And it basically makes solo play pointless.
Yeah. And you might be wondering what the fuck supply points are. You use those to buy cards, because this game is a somewhat card-based game. You get cards that have different abilities and stats on them that augment your character, basically. So you can get one that's like, oh, I get 5% more health and take 5% reduction of damage. Well, if you have that card equipped, then that's what your character benefits from. There's some that are also team-based ones. There's some that are like, oh, here, my melee is 75% stronger, but now I can't aim down sights or shit like that. And you use the supply points to buy these cards. And you don't just have a list of all the cards and you can just buy what the fuck ever. They give you these lines, supply lines, basically. And you have to buy the cards that are in this line, and you have 3 lines open at any given time. And once you buy one, that line disappears and it's replaced with a new thing. So you can always go through the 3 of them over and over and over, and that's what I suggest doing, because every time you finish one, the one that replaces it costs just that little bit more in supply points over and over and over. Because they have to make sure that you spend forever playing the game, because that's what games like this do. And you, not only do you unlock those cards with that, but you also unlock character outfit pieces to customize your character. There's not a lot of character customization in this game, but there is a little bit. As well as there are some weapon skins, only 1 to 3, but there's a whole bunch of different weapons. So
yeah, we know skins and stuff are going to come later.
Probably. Yeah, probably. But you unlock some of those skins. There's, again, only 1 to 3 of them right now. And that's really all the supply lines are. It's just a way to get that crap. And it takes some time to get them sometimes. But yeah, the mode solo and normal campaign. There's also a swarm mode, which basically is a PvP mode, where it's the 4 human players against 4 mutant players, and you alternate. And basically, you're just seeing how long the human players can survive. And whichever team survives the longest wins. Just that simple. It's only one round, so you're probably going to lose a lot. but I can't talk too much about it, because I was only able to get into a single game of it, because every time I joined a game and it started, I was kicked out of it. And I was writing in the middle of writing a bug report about it, because I couldn't get into any games, and I was like, well, they need my ID number from the game, so I have to click out of this menu that tells me why I was disconnected, so I can grab that, and I was like, and I don't remember what the hell it said, so I guess I'll go into another game. And then I went into a game and it actually worked, so I was like, well, fuck, never mind. Maybe I was just unlucky, because it was that they kept on leaving immediately before the game started. I'm guessing probably because some people didn't want to play as the fucking monsters the first round or something, because they're fucking idiots. Honestly, the one game that I played, I fucking loved playing as the monsters. It was so much fun, so much better than playing as the people. I didn't even play one of the stronger ones. It was great. But in the campaign, it's very much like Left 4 Dead. For obvious reasons, this is the same group who made Left 4 Dead. Except for this campaign is significantly longer, which is awesome. I've spent probably 20 hours playing this campaign to get through it. The one drawback about that is it's also so much harder than Left 4 Dead ever was. Like, the hardest mode on Left 4 Dead is about as hard as the beginning mode for this is.
Jeez.
If not easier than the beginning mode for this game is. And there's 3 difficulties.
So easy is going to kick your ass. The harder difficulties are just going to wreck you.
Yeah. I when this game actually came out, because we had slightly early access, because again, it was the ultimate edition that WB gave us for the purpose of this review.
Product provided sponsored, by WB. Whatever. Hashtag sponsored content.
So we got it a bit early to play it. And the moment that everyone was able to play it, I saw so many games where people were just like, oh, we can just start it. Because it goes rookie is the first difficulty, veteran is the second, and nightmare is the third. Everyone was trying to play veteran immediately right off the bat. And I don't think anyone was able to do it, period. Because you are expected to play it on rookie so you can get the cards to stand the snowballish chance in hell of being able to do it on veteran. Like, it's so hard. I don't know who this is made for. Like, I play FPSs constantly. I love FPSs. They're fun. I enjoy games like that. I almost threw in the towel playing it on fucking rookie on the easiest mode possible.
Jeez.
I almost threw in the towel multiple times because I was like, I can't do this. Whether I was playing with robots because I was lucky enough to have people leave and robots take over. And I'm not saying, oh, people are just shitty and I hate them, even though they're shitty and I hate them.
Yeah.
The robots are actually really good shots. So they kill things very quickly, very nicely. They got overwhelmed on a regular basis. And humans got overwhelmed well before then. On top of that, they also don't trigger a number of monsters' bad abilities either. Because there's some monsters that, like, when you hurt them, they start screaming and they pull in hordes of zombies to, whatever they call them, I call them zombies, to come eat your face. The AIs can shoot them and they'll never scream.
Hmm.
Thank you, AIs. I love you, AIs.
Sounds like the game is brutally hard, made easier with AI, but you can't play with AI normally. Yep. This one sounds kind of mixed to me. It's $60. What are you thinking of it?
As it is right now, I do enjoy the gameplay when I can actually do anything in it, but it is very hard to recommend it just because I don't know how many people are going to be able to play this and actually beat it on fucking easy. And no game should be unable to beat when you're playing it on fucking easy. No. That's ridiculous to me. Hopefully they'll, tone down the difficulty, because like right now this level of difficulty is what I would expect from hard, like the hardest hard. This is what I would expect out of something called fucking Nightmare, because it's a goddamn nightmare, especially the last couple of levels where it's just like everything is coming at you all at once constantly. It took me hours just to beat the second to last level. It took me over a dozen tries with a team that had people who had beaten it before. That's how hard it is. There are people who have beaten it who have trouble beating it again because it's a lot of luck is based on it. Because on top of that, there is luck based in it. There's a shop in the game that you buy with coins that you pick up throughout the levels. It has randomized stuff in it. So you might have a really kick-ass gun in there and some really good attachments to put on it. Or you might have a piece of shit and absolute garbage to put on it. You might have team abilities that are useful for what you're trying to do. Or you may have stuff that's like, that's, we can't really use that. So it's not just hard because it's hard. It's also hard because you can have just shit luck and be just fucked.
No. Well, I need a verdict.
I can't recommend it right now as it is.
All right.
Maybe after they do some updates to it, maybe, hopefully.
So right now, some rebalancing, some updates. We could always revisit this one in a month or two and see how things turned out.
Yeah, I plan on playing it until I can hopefully at least beat Veteran. I don't think I'll ever get that good, but
I'll
keep trying.
Jacob, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, it's on Game Pass, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
So if you're on the fence, just fucking Game Pass it and try it out.
There you go. Boom.
Kaboom. Next game to talk about is called Rainbow Billy, The Curse of the Leviathan, developed by Manavoid Entertainment, published by Skybound Games, released October 5th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Rainbow Billy, The Curse of the Leviathan is a wholesome creature capture 2.5D adventure puzzle platformer with RPG elements. It is a family-friendly, an openly accessible adventure in which you must save whimsical creatures by bringing back color to the world you once knew. Jacob, tell us about this absolutely adorable game.
And addictive.
Yes.
Like, holy crap. Like, there have been way too many nights where I went to bed at like 3:30 in the morning and then had to be up at like 7 o'clock to get my kids to school and Radio. Crap like that. Oh my God, this game. Okay, so so I'm just going to refer to it as Rainbow Billy for the rest of this. Fingers crossed that they make a sequel, because that would be great. So all the color gets removed from your world, and you have to bring it back. And how that's done is you meet all these little critters all over the world, and you have to talk with them and listen to their issues, and then maybe like suggest things. And you're always given like three different options of how you want to do it. You can either like say something negative or make fun of them. You can give like a lukewarm answer, and then you could say something really constructive and make them see like, oh, well, you know, that maybe that's how I should do it. And then like as you're like breaking down these walls with these critters, this gameplay is a little difficult to explain, like for like the fighting portions. Just understand that it's like a combination between Spiritfarer in terms of like you're managing like this boat that, you know, has all these different people / critters on it, and you have to figure out all their needs and wants and like, you know, build them up and level them up and all that kind of stuff, mixed in with some Animal Crossing and some Pokemon in terms of like critter catching. I keep referring to them as critters. I don't know why. But anyway, so going back to like the fighting portion, it's kind of set up like the old, well, for me, my point of reference would be Mega Man Battle Network, because that was like the first time I'd ever seen like a grid kind of RPG battle setup. And so you're doing that, and at the same time, each attack, which has to match up with your critter's colors versus the enemy, because you're like, as I said, you're trying to like break down their walls, and so you have to do these like little mini games, which are they're really basic. None of them are particularly hard. They're made to be accessible to everyone and easily understood.
Yeah.
The only one that I had an issue with was the one where you have to use like the left stick and then hit the button combos in like the order that they come out. The game doesn't explain that you had to use the left stick, so I just kept like hitting the buttons and I wonder why I kept failing the little mini game until one time I accidentally hit the left stick during the game, and then I was like, oh shit, this is what I was supposed to do.
Proud of you. I figured that out immediately.
Shut up, Joe. I kind of wish that the game I kind of wish the game had at least explained that. Or like if there was like some sort of like tutorial like for little kids that like explained each of the mini games and how they're played. I think that would have been cool. But so anyways, you just have to go through this land and you have to figure out how you're going to make it to the next island. And some of them are inaccessible at the time. And so, you know, maybe just try reaching it later on when you've unlocked more islands or when your little boat now has more rainbow fuel, which it naturally generates when it's in a good area. And with that, I mean, so it's just like there's a ton of exploration and there's a ton of like trying to figure out how to get, you know, all, you know, to from point A to point B with the platforming. It is a ton of fun. It's really well done. I really like how all these conversations with the different critters happen. Like it's, and because it teaches like very constructive ways for kids to have conversations and realize that, like, you know, sometimes people have negative emotions or act out, you know, like they're not bad. It's just, you know, maybe they're afraid or maybe they're scared or maybe like, you know, like they were just taught one way and they're not considering other people's feelings at the time. And so it really has a lot of positive messages in this game. And
and it punishes you for being a dick. Like go ahead.
I was going to say, I've given like a couple of lukewarm ones and it doesn't really punish you. It just means that like your quote unquote attack isn't as powerful.
I've given like serious like dick answers before because like the one guy was openly a bully and I thought maybe if I mocked him that it would show him what it's like being bullied. So I picked that answer and my morale went down.
Oh
yeah. It damaged me.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're being a bully. Yeah. Joe. Jeez.
And I eventually
reasonable thing to be.
Eventually turned things around and I was more endearing and I was kinder and more acceptable of him and encouraging of him being protective of his friends. And I turned it around and he befriended me and now we're buddies and he's on my boat and I gave him I don't remember what I gave him a bunch of gummy fish, but we're friends now.
Which one is it? Do you remember what they look like? Is it the one who kept talking about protecting the littles or whatever? Yes. Okay, yeah, I know which one.
Like on, the, I think he, it was near the there's volcano.
Like, there's like, yeah, there's like two of them that like that have that kind of stuff.
There was a lot of hopping between islands at that point, so I can't remember which. I think he was on the island before the volcano's final appearance.
I don't know. I like this is one of the few games where I kind of wish that there was a strategy guide to go along with it because like I really want to know whether it's like whether because I've beaten the boss of the first world and it's just like I want to know whether it's okay for me to actually go into the second world or do I or should I really be like finishing like trying to capture every like all the other critters because I only have like four or five of them left.
I think they said on the Steam page that you can still explore after the game, so don't worry about not being able to like finish everything.
Okay, all right, cool. Because yeah, because I am excited to see where else this game goes.
Yeah,
yeah, this is. It's a pretty great game. I'm actually going to be recommending it to one of my friends from college. He's now a therapist for elementary school kids in schools. And I'm just like, dude, this is a game that like you need to be recommending to your kids because it's right up there with the movie Inside Out because he uses that to help kids like understand their emotions and help deal with them. And I'm just like, dude, this game's like right up that alley. Yeah. So
that was a good movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Pixar. I mean, even their crappiest film is still like leaks better than so many others.
Yeah. Well, Rainbow Billy is $30. What do you think?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Enthusiastically 30. Honestly, if this was a $60 game, I still would have been pleased with it. And this is coming from cheap ass Jacob. So
yeah, you are cheap ass.
Yeah, so $30 is a friggin' bargain on this game, trust me. Like, you're gonna get lots of gameplay out of this. It's a lot of fun, so I highly recommend it.
And I appreciate how diverse the gameplay is in this one. It really is so many genres just smushed together, and it works really well.
Yeah, they took their time with it to figure out the formula, and it shows, like, it's a quality game. Like, I'm really impressed with it.
Cool. All right. Well, moving on. Next game to talk about is The Lightbringer, developed by Rock Square Thunder, published by Zordix, released October 7th on Switch for $14.99. The Lightbringer is a story-driven adventure platform game set in a beautiful world claimed by vile corruption. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review for this one. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML lovelies. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing The Lightbringer on the Switch. Let's get on to the review. In The Lightbringer, you play as Brother, the silent protagonist, who's given the task of ridding the world that you live in of corruption that's taken over. You're guided by your sister, a disembodied voice in your head that has an affinity for rhyme and prose. She pops up whenever there's something you need to know in order to progress in the game. Sister speaks in riddles a bit, but that's pretty normal for a guide. They can't just come out and tell you things. No, you got to use your brain a bit. Story-wise, the game is a little slim. You find out about the world you live in from your sister or by finding bells. When you ring the bells, they give little snippets of the very distant past, usually about how the world was formed. The lore your sister gives is very more recent, but I was definitely, the lore your sister gives is more recent, not very, anyway, but I was definitely looking for more of that juicy lore to go with this very interesting world. Let's talk about the gameplay. This is an action-adventure platformer. So you'll get the usual things. Much to my happiness, you get double jump right off the bat, and you'll need it pretty much as soon as you get it. You can grab items with X, and you also get a roll, which I found out by rolling into the water and losing health. Movement is pretty good. Move with the left stick, rotate the camera with the right stick. Now the rotation is interesting, but you need to do this to give yourself all the info that you need in each stage. But you can't rotate up and down. You can only go side to side, but you have a 360 view when rotating. Useful when hunting down those hard-to-find items. As the chosen one, you get a weapon, and it's a cute little cutscene. I won't ruin the cutscene, but you get a boomerang. You can do quite a bit with the boomer. You can crush boxes, grab items that are too far for you to jump, vanquish enemies, all that good jazz. You can also aim and charge your boomerang, which you'll need to do sometimes in order to solve these puzzles. The puzzles are mostly navigation-based, essentially how to get from point A to point B. I didn't have much problem with the puzzles as long as you understand that some puzzles can't be solved until you progress further on the island. There's backtracking involved, but it wasn't too terrible. Surprisingly, there's also mini dungeons on these islands. Some are mandatory, some are optional. Dungeons usually have lights, which you need in order to finish the level, crystals, health, and enemies. The layout of the dungeons is fairly linear, but it's a stark contrast from the above world. Let's talk about the graphics. For a world that's plagued with corruption, I really couldn't tell. It's a bright and vibrant world. People are walking around, hanging out, fishing, just living life. The only point of corruption is when you're finishing the level, and even then, if I told you the portal was corrupted, you wouldn't believe me. This isn't to say I didn't like the graphics. It's just a very different approach to what we would normally think of a world being corrupted. An interesting stylistic choice. That being said, the game looks great, gives me Breath of the Wild vibes, and that's a good thing. The Lightbringer is available right now on the Nintendo Switch for $14.99, and should you buy it? Yes, I give this one an absolute buy it. It's a ton of fun. The platforming and puzzle solving is clever, but not overwhelming. There's about 20 levels to traverse, so it'll keep you busy for a while. I enjoyed my time bringing the light, and I think you will too. That one sounds good. Is that on Xbox? I gotta look that up.
I don't know.
No, it is not on Xbox. Hopefully that comes to Xbox. That sounds really good. Man, good games this week. Next game to talk about is called Sensible Blood Rugby. Developed and published by Bungiesoft, released October 8th on Xbox One for $6.99. An homage to classic arcade games from the 90s adapted to the Olympic sports of rugby sevens. Jacob, tell us about your time with Sensible Blood Rugby.
So this game, you know, as the description said, you know, it's definitely a throwback to 90s sports games, and it kind of feels like it's trying to be like the Tecmo Bowl version of rugby. Now there's only like four different teams to choose from, so there's not a lot of variety.
16 with it. Teams.
16?
Yes.
No. Why did it only show four for me?
Maybe there's different leagues. Maybe. Store page says 16 teams with four players. Okay. So maybe you unlock them. I don't know.
But, you know,
but you make people bleed.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We'll get to that. So the thing is that you're playing rugby, which is kind of like football, but not really. I mean, the tackling is there. But, you know, everyone's just, you know, actively fucking each other up.
Dark Mika. Nice. Why didn't you say that comment in here?
What?
Because I forgot that I was in here, actually.
Forgot you were doing the podcast?
Yeah. Because I watch it, unlike you. I'm actually in here watching it, too. So
oh my
the fact
God.
That I can hear you just made me think I was watching it. Leave me alone.
Go ahead, share your comment with the rest of the world, because that's a damn good comment.
Rugby, where hot girls beat each other up to show everyone that football is a piss baby's game played by a bunch of little boys.
Anywho.
Yes. Wugga is a rugby fan, so... You have to please him with this review as well.
I will probably fail at it like I do with pleasing everyone else with my reviews, so that's okay.
Do it pleasing everyone in any way.
Anyway, so it's, yep. You know, you're trying to run the ball into the goal area, and you know there's a lot of passing with it. However, of course, you can also beat the crap out of the other players as you get near the ball, and it just doesn't go well. Like, there's no adaptive difficulty with this game. It's automatically set to hard. It's set to fuck you. Yeah. That's what it's set to.
It's
just like, and the thing is that it's just like the game, like the AI just pummels you relentlessly. I have yet to get a goal at all in the game. I've played multiple games of this. Like, when I first messaged Joe about it, I was just like, dude, I've played two games and I still haven't scored any goals yet. Like, and the thing is that what happens is that by halftime, your team is so decimated that, like, the second half, the game is just like, oh, good luck. Like, you know, try to get a goal this time. And you just can't, because your team, like, you know, they're just hobbling. Like, they might as well just be hobbling
the shit out of your team.
Yeah. You're just essentially trying to hobble across the field, and it's just like, yeah, like the blood and the violence is like it's a cool addition, but it just ends up not being fun. Like, as I said, like I've played multiple games of this. I can't score a damn goal in this game. I like one of the first achievements that popped up was loser. You know, because you lose a game, you also get, there's also an achievement called winner for winning one. And yeah. And so, along with it is like during my very first game, I also got an achievement for managing to score 0 points. So it just thank you. Tries. Thank you. I missed that. Whoever said that, it already, whatever, the chat already fucking went up. Anyway. Yeah, now I'm trying to...
It was Wug. Thank you, Wug.
But yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's a very basic game. Like, if you're not familiar with rugby, it does... Like, there's nothing that explains, like, how the sport actually works. It's just like, here's the controls. Go fuck yourself. All right, here's the game. Go fuck yourself. All right, we scored... You've now lost.
Sounds like exactly like rugby, actually.
It does.
You've lost by almost 100 points. You really can go fuck yourself. So.
Statistically, yeah. You should have gotten a point by fucking accident by then.
No.
Jesus Christ.
No, the game is just like, as I said, like by halftime or whatever they call it in rugby. I don't know if I'm using the right term. Yeah.
Well, they call goals tries, so I'm guessing halftime is like halfsies.
Halfsies
McTwist.
They call it tea time. Tea time. I don't know. It's just, like, it just wasn't fun. Like, I mean, maybe if, like, they did something for the difficulty so, like, you could get a better grasp on the game, that would be fun, but... You know, it's a solid concept. I liked it. And I liked how the graphics looked. But it just, you know, I'm not just going to sit there for 6 games and just keep losing automatically. I mean, I don't know. Maybe because it is for 4 players. I mean, you can do like a 4-player game. So maybe you just need to get a bunch of, you know, your friends around the couch and just
beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, in game and out of the game.
Yeah. I do appreciate that the features in the game are rugby, multiplayer, and fight.
Yeah, when I say this is a bare bones game, like I mean it.
It's a fairly bare bones price at only $7. What do you think? Is this worth someone checking out for kicks and giggles? Is it worth checking out
for somebody who's more seasoned, who's like way more seasoned at rugby than myself? You know, maybe they're just going to play this game and be like, yo, Jacob's a complete fuckhead and doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I hope so, because honestly, that would give more credence to what's usually said about me on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It would help if you didn't agree with that so quickly. But but anyway.
But then we'd be lying to you, and that'd be mean.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm just going to have to give this a hard no. Like, I mean, I think there's definitely room for improvement with it, you know, and if, you know, if the guy who made it, you know, does release a bunch of patches for it, you know, it's something I definitely like consider revisiting later on, but in its current state, no.
No, it is a one man job. So hopefully he takes the feedback. It sounds like if difficulty were readjusted and they actually made it possible for you to accomplish something, it might be worth giving a go.
Yeah. Yeah, it really would.
All right.
I mean, statistically, he should have accomplished something by now. He's just a special type of loser, that's all.
Anyway, next game to talk about is Red Ronin, developed by Wired Dream Studio, published by Cubite Interactive, released October 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. Red Ronin is a turn-based but fast-paced dash-and-slash game where a bloodthirsty Ronin and her companion bot search for revenge. Aki, tell us about this one.
It's pretty good, but very hard. You play as Red. I don't know if that's her proper real name, but that's what everyone calls her. And she's decided she's going to kill some motherfuckers. She's going to kill them hard. This very much reminds me, if any of you have played Katana Zero, this game very much reminds me of it, even though it plays completely differently. Everything about it reminds me of it, and I love it. basically you're looking down at a board more or less, and Red zips from in a straight line, and she only moves in straight lines until she hits a wall or some other object.
So this is kind of like the Friday the 13th killer puzzle in Slayaway Camp.
Mixed with
Katana Zero.
Yes. It's almost exactly
I'm buying like this.
That. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But if you zip from one area to another, if there's a person or people in between you and that object, they're fucked. They are so fucked. She cuts right through them, and they don't just disappear. No, you see their bodies get torn in half, fall to the ground, bloodied. Oh, it's so good. They disappear after that, which is a fucking shame. It'd be cool if they were just there. And whilst this happens, the enemies, they're not static either. They move, but they only move one square at a time. So they're not like zipping around like you are, because they're not like crazy ninja women. So, but, you know, they suck.
But anyway.
Yeah, everyone for the most part has swords. There are some other types of enemies that you meet later on, including people who have guns, which are very fucking hard to deal with. So when you move, they move once for every time you move, obviously. Da-da-da. The ones that are close to you will start following you, tracking you to get to you. After you move, they move. And if there's one blank space in between you and them, they're going to kill you. Or if there's no blank space in between you and them, they'll kill you. So you have to stay at least that far away from them at all times so you can cut through them. Which doesn't sound that hard. It can get pretty difficult pretty quickly, actually. The game does keep track of how many times you die, because there is an achievement for beating the entire game without dying, and one for beating it in under an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. At some point, I'm sure someone's going to make a walkthrough of it. I'm not going to be that fucking person, because I suck at this. It's really fun. I'm really bad at it. Because it's not like you're fighting one individual at a time. You're usually going up against like 5, 6, 10 people at once, and it can get pretty hard to figure out how to move. Granted, they always move the same way if you move that way. Like, let's say you move up at the very first thing you do is move up, and this enemy and this enemy, they one moves up and one moves to the left. Every time you move that first move going up, they will respond with the exact same move. Nothing ever changes. So you can eventually, hopefully, figure out how to fucking do it through trial and error. It may take you 100 or so deaths to do it, but you'll get there, maybe, possibly, eventually. I did get stuck for some time, we'll say, in a few places. There's achievements for dying 20 times in a level, and they thought that was excessive. I don't. I don't think dying 50 times in a level is excessive for no real reason. I just, you know, other people, they might, yeah, they might have issues. Totally not me. Totally. Oh,
well, it sounds like the game is a fun one, and it looks really enjoyable for only $8. What do you think?
Oh, hell yes. Yes, get it. It's fun. It's a little difficult, but it's not too bad. And I'm sure someone's going to have a walkthrough for this before too long, maybe in a couple of months, and then everyone can actually...
Couple months? I'm sure it'll be ready in a couple of weeks.
I don't know. Some of these levels are fucking hard, and there's some optional levels that you can get into as well.
You underestimate the achievement hunting community.
Oh, I do not underestimate achievement whores at all. I'm one of them. I know exactly what they are. This game, though, there's lots of stuff to do in it, and it can get... If you're trying to beat the whole thing in under an hour, you still have to figure it all out and then manage to do it in under an hour. And that's probably going to take, oh, well, we can beat this, but it needs to be beaten faster type situations, is what I'm expecting. So it's going to take a while, I think. But the story is basically a revenge plot, and you're going after some people that were your friends who decided to let you get fucked over.
Yeah, and it looks like as of now, no one's even beaten the game yet, so...
Yeah, no, I haven't even gotten halfway through it yet. It's so... Jeez. Yeah, it's not easy. I've sat there and died not 50 times totally, not at all. In singular levels, let alone in that entire little chapter. There's not very many chapters, thankfully. There's a few, but there's not many. And then there's memory sections, which tell you about the past, why Red wants to kill these people. But for that, you have to actually kill the bosses instead of letting them get away. Because you can fail at killing them, some of them. So yeah, it's interesting. It's cool. I like it.
Nice. I'm going to check that one out. But one final game to talk about tonight is called Bouncy Bullets 2, developed by Petite Games, published by Rattleika Games. Thank released you. October 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Get ready for more vibrant, colorful shooting fun in the anticipated sequel to Bouncy Bullets. Can you find the portal to exit each level? You'll have to move, jump, and shoot your way past each zone's challenges and numerous obstacles. Can you master the physics of firing your weapon to bounce off the walls in a precise manner? Jacob, I'm guessing the answer is no.
What, that I wasn't able to figure this out?
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of right. I mean, I really don't have a game to review. I didn't get past the first level.
Really?
No, I'm fucking with you. Jesus.
But you are never you really?
Know. You never know.
Yes, you do. All right. So anyway, so with this game, you're pretty much just given this gun and like the game explains crap on the wall. So hopefully you're attentive and you're reading like things as you walk by them as to like what button does what and how the game plays. Like there's gray guys that you can't shoot, otherwise the level's over. You know, there's yellow ones that have to be hit with, you know, these yellow pellets. The pink ones have to be hit with pink pellets. And so it's pretty much just like first-person shooter, the puzzle game. And you'd think that there's not a lot to it, but honestly, I found the layout of the levels more of a problem than dealing with the opponents and stuff like that. And there was like one level, I swear to God, it was just like, I had to walk across like three or four planks in like a zigzag motion. And that messed me up more than getting like, you know, having to dodge like the little bullets from these guys. Yeah, there's also one that like, you have to, ricochet it off of a wall before, it'll take care of the bad or the opponent or whatever. And so you pretty much just have to move from level to level and figure out the layout. And so it's a nice mix of like 3D platforming and shooter. And then there's also like these little, what are they? Do they call them nuggets or whatever? Joe, did you play this at all? Or am I
just, no.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm, all right. So there's these like little gold.
I have not picked this one.
They look yet. Like, they look like little nuts, essentially, like that you would attach to like a bolt. And it's just like,
well, you are the pro with nuts. So,
anyway,
he's a pro at juggling them. That's all.
I'm very well versed at, I know, but I'm gargling only very well versed at two of them at a time.
That's a form of juggling.
Tongue juggling.
Exactly.
Anyway, Bouncy Bullets.
God. Anyway. so there's just these like little things that you have to collect on some of the levels. Like it doesn't actually have anything to do with, you know, if you finish or not. You really just need to make it from point A to point B. But there is an achievement attached to it. And then there's various, like there's various levels of difficulty, easy, medium, and hard. And then there's also a speed running thing. That you can do. Chivo Guide says that you can get 1,000 points in 15 minutes. So for you achievement hunters out there, I'm sure you'll all be very interested in that. As if, you know, it being a Rattleika game didn't already make you interested. and so with that, you know, it's just, I don't want to say that there's not a lot to it, but there's not a lot to it. You know, I mean, the levels, like the difficulty with that for the different separation for the levels, like they do mean it. Like, you know, like the hard game, like the hard ones are going to take a lot of trial and error. But all in all, I thought it, you know, I thought it was a pretty decent game. I didn't hear what you said the price was for it.
$5.
Oh, well, it's also Red Lake, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, $5. Yeah, it's totally worth it. I mean, it's a good time waster. I mean, I liked it. I'd be totally down for a sequel to it. I mean, it's not.
I mean, it is a sequel, so we'll probably get Bouncy Bullets 3 eventually.
I know, but that's what I mean. Like, are we going to get the trilogy? You know, so
the stunning conclusion to the Bouncy Bullets trilogy.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, because I didn't play the first one, I'm actually kind of lost on the plot of the second one. So I really hope that the third game ties up all the loose ends.
All right, well, that's it for this episode.
Woo!
Made it through another. Anything else anyone wants to talk about before we wrap things up, or no?
Nah, I gotta do tweets, which is more important than having to talk to you.
Very true.
We made it through, and it only took us insulting Jacob to do it. Easy time.
Wait, that's how it is every episode for you. Fuck yourself.
That's exactly how I make it through.
That explains the long
fucking
pauses.
Yourself during the show. Oh, final words.
Fuck Jacob.
Yeah, fuck Jacob.
Fuck Jacob.
Counting all the assholes in the room.